sing that song. I said it was going to be a good segue for my message. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedoms we all hold dear, now let's see. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, count it all joy, brother, when you go through various trials, because it's working. It's working something. Knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance, patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. It's working. Count it joy. That's not natural. Count it joy. Humans don't do that when they're going through trials, tribulations. They don't count it joy. The only way you could do that, you got to have a bigger picture. You got to see past the trial. And that's really what it's all about. God can open the eyes of the understanding. Much of what we do in the ministry, when you're dealing with people that are up to their eyeballs in disaster and alligators and all kinds of problems, we're not here to blow sunshine up people's noses like, yeah, don't worry, yeah, well, you know, this too shall pass. That's a bumper sticker. We really got to provide some information to their powerful minds that God created, that he can open up to give them understanding to rise above it. Jesus said it's about overcoming in this life. If our prayer life is focused on, oh God, don't let nothing bad happen to me, he ain't going to answer that prayer. He can't. It's not in accordance with his will. Remember, he only answers prayers in accordance with his will. Well, I guess we better know what his will is. It's about overcoming. It's not going to be about avoidance. When the gospel went forth into the world in the first century, they faced a whole lot of problems. First, persecution by the Jews. Actually, the Romans actually helped them for a while until Rome turned against them. So then they had the double whammy. They had the Jews and the Romans, Roman Empire. But our enemy has always been the God of this world. He works the dark side of the street. The dragon gives power to the beast, the false prophet, and mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, all anti-Christian, anti-Christian sensual desire to, in ungodliness. The lust of the flesh, of the mind. That's all the temptations. Love not the world nor the things in the world, John said. For all that's in the world, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, is not of God. It's of the world, and the world's passing away. James 4 makes it clear. You the friend of the world, you the enemy of God. That's it. Friend of the world, enemy of God. Pretty straightforward. So when the early church was going forward, they faced persecution in every direction. You guys remember in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen, first martyr, was stoned, they were some guy guarding their coats, some Saul of Tarsus guy, guarding the coats, consenting unto Stephen's death. Well, who's that guy? Well, he became the Apostle Paul. That very same guy guarding the coats of the while they stoned Stephen, those guys doing that, later became the Apostle Paul and gave us a good portion of our scriptures. Said there was a great persecution. Saul was consenting unto his death in Acts 8, of Stephen's death. Great persecution arose against the church. It was at Jerusalem. They were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The church was scattered, man, headed for the hills, hidden in the dens and the caves of the earth. No, they didn't. They were scattered, all right, man. They were scattered. And it says those who were scattered, verse 4, they went everywhere and they were preaching the word. Preaching the word. What, the doctors of divinity from the Jerusalem Bible College? No. The Christians. The early church. Convicted. Motivated. They were not afraid. This guy was going in and he was grabbing people and hauling them to prison. Verse 3, Saul was make havoc at the church, entering of house, dragging men and women, committing them to prison. They kept right on going. Kept right on going. Troublesome times are here, filling our hearts with fear. Freedoms we all hold here, dear are now at stake. You know, I think we all can say this now. I know I'm guilty of this. I used to say, well, that'll never happen here. You don't hear me saying that no more. It will probably happen here is where I'm at now. This is insane. Every part of our society is collapsing. For those of you who've read The Gods of Return, talking about the demon gods, they're back. Just like Jesus prophesied they would be. So shall it be with this generation. The evil spirit goes out, goes through dry places seeking rest when he can't find it. Says, I'm going to go back where I came from. Comes back to that house, that guy. Finds that house swept, put in order. Gets 6 or 7 of his buddies. Hey, come on, guys, I know a place. And they move in. They're 7 times worse. To say to that man will become 7 times worse than it was before. And then Jesus said, so shall it be with this generation. The Apostle Paul said very plainly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him. He said, I was telling you when I was with you, he said, that ain't going to happen until the great falling away occur. Jesus said, when the Son of Man return, will he really find faith on the earth? Kind of rhetorical there, meaning not much. And here we are. The man of lawlessness is being revealed. That's not a person. That's a state. Just like the man of God. Not just a person. It's a state, a man. The man of lawlessness, who does not want to retain God in his knowledge, who God then gives over to a reprobate mind to do that which is not convenient, fulfilling all the desires of their flesh. We see it in spades at the highest levels in our society. People that ought to be no better and be leading us in the right ways. Those who praise the righteous and the people that do good and meet out the justice of the sword of God, the avenger on all ungodliness. Government is for that, to reward the good and punish the evil. We have flipped that completely upside down. America. Forget about a lot of the other despotic regimes. America. I'm going to share just a couple, I hope, interest stories to you in light of this present distress in this world. Because you know, Olga was here. Many of you have a chance to interact with her a little bit. Olga's Belarusian, obviously. She's here in the States with her family. Literally had to get out of Belarus. She's in Massachusetts. They're kind of riding it out. They want to go home. They can't go home. It's dangerous for them for a couple reasons. One, she's a Goncharenko. Her husband, Jakob Goncharenko, his brother, was the pastor at a big church in Minsk. Church in the Cow Barn. Maybe you heard that story from me. Way back in the day when the Soviet Union finally collapsed, suddenly the doors popped open and some of the other nations that became sovereign nations again. It wasn't, you know, instead of just Russia, you know, Russia was... The Soviet Union was Russia and a bunch of other countries that they had taken over, absorbed. But when the Soviet Union collapsed, you had Russia. Belarus fell out, Ukraine fell out, Latvia fell out. These became independent nations again. Well, that's a good thing. And suddenly there was a rush of Western Protestant Christianity wanting to get in the Soviet Union, while everybody was a little bit kind of off guard. Everything was up, you know, kind of upheaval. To get the gospel in there. Western Protestant, basically. Instead of Orthodox, okay? Because that's all they had before was Orthodox, and it was dead. The communists took all that over. Nobody went to those churches because the priests were KGB. Who are you going to get in a box and confess to the KGB what you've been up to lately? I don't think so. So nobody went to the churches. They were empty. Turned some of them into theaters. Communists did. Okay, so people rushed in there. There was people that wanted to worship God, praise God, you know. They wanted to get together. They didn't have any buildings to do it in. So they actually started going to theaters. And then finally the government and the Orthodox Church started pushing back and with the government, and they worked together, the beast and the false prophet, so that they could limit these people doing that. They said, you can't meet in a theater. You got to be a church. You got to have a church building. Got to have permission. They said, we don't have church buildings. Can we have permission? Nope. Oh. What to do? Well, they went to the forest. Thousands of them. They stood out in the forest, and they have weather like we do. Dead of winter, snow going sideways, got their kids out there. I said, how many people did you have out there, Olga? She said, we had over 1,000. 1,000 people in the rain, the snow, and the sleet, because all they wanted to do was praise God. Well, outside the ring road, what we would call almost like a bypass, around Minsk, was an old cow barn. It was nothing but a bunch of posts with a roof on it, actually. It didn't have sides on it. You've seen some of them, you know, abandoned, you know, they bought that, these people. They put sides on it, put a floor in it, a real nice cement floor, remodeled the whole thing, and they made a real nice building out there. And the government said, you can't do that. You don't have no permission. They said, we're outside the ring road. We're out here. Next thing you know, Minsk City Council extended the city limits of Minsk out to that area and absorbed the area where the cow barn was. Then they told me you can't have a cow barn in the city limits. They said, this ain't a cow barn. It's our church. They said, shut her down. They weren't going to put, they didn't put no power out there or nothing for them people. They were running generators. So they went on a hunger strike. And it got on the World Wide Web, got on the AP, and it went all over Europe. Next thing you know, embassy cars pulled up on the grounds at the cow barn, U.S. embassy flags flying, British, Italian, French, Germany, lined up. I got pictures of it from Olga because I went to the cow barn and saw the place. It's nice. I went on a weekday with nobody there, but the pictures were on their board. Lukashenko, the dictator, had to back off. He was furious. A few years went by. Right before COVID, the police showed up again. Boom, 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 boom. They're inside. They got the door shut. They had doors, you know, like our double doors over to the school. Two steel doors with windows like that. The cops were coming, so they locked their doors. Cops say, open the door. No. They say, open the door. Get out. No. So the cops stepped back, and these, like, construction-looking guys walked up with a big carbide blade saw. And I'm watching the video that Olga sent me. Sparks were flying everywhere. They cut that door open. Get out. They let them grab their coats or their guitars or whatever they had. That was it. Out. So since COVID, they've been standing out in the parking lot. They'd go over there every Sunday. Easy. In the rain, in the snow, in the sleet, in the heat. Over 1,000 of them standing there to praise God. The cop said, don't do that. Get out of here. They just disregard them. 2 weeks ago, she sent me the pictures. It's rubble. They bulldozed that whole place down. Why? Why would the nicest people in town, would you treat them like that? What is with this darkness where people call good evil and evil good? Why would you want to shut down? You would think any rational government in this whole world would want as many Christians as they could get. Because basically, and I know Jeff shared some books, there's some stuff we need to really understand about government and our rights and what we should be doing in that. A lawful government, you would think, would want as many Christian people as they could get. You know, I always thought this made no sense at all. When Peter got sent to Cornelius' household, Peter walked in and he started preaching to Cornelius, you know. Verse 34, Peter opened his mouth, Acts 10 and 34. In truth, he said, I perceive God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him works righteousness is accepted with him. Now, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all, that word you know, was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism with John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good, healing the people oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, and we're witnesses of this whole thing. And what he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed and hung him on a tree. Whoa, what? How did you go from being the nicest guy on the block and God's people take you, kill you, and hang you on a tree? How did we go from there to there? Does that make any sense? You know, we have to look up. Because if you look at this world, it makes no sense. That's basically what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. This world don't make no sense. And it ain't just. It ain't fair. It ain't a whole bunch of things. Well, what in the world's going on down here? Darkness. Paul said, you ain't fighting flesh and blood, church, Christian. You got to put on the whole armor of God in order to be able to stand the evil day, stand against the schemes of the devil. We're fighting against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness. That's why stuff like that don't make no sense. I throw that story about Olga and what all them people went through. That's just one of a million stories throughout the history of Christianity. But if that's you on the receiving end of that, that's real. The persecution of the Vietnamese church. Min is not the preacher. Min told me when we were the persecution and so many of the leaders went to the prison, they were beaten and all the stuff they went through. Min said they left. He said, but I just didn't want this work to stop. He said, I'm not a preacher. But for some of you who know Min, he's the gutsy dude, man. That guy ain't afraid of them. They've threatened him. He keeps right on going. We just helped him. He's doing Bible VBS with kids in five or six different little places, you know, 500 kids. Men don't care. So a couple weeks ago, their building gone. Well, you know, a church ain't to build in no how. They could bulldoze this place down. You know, there's a reason why when we built this, we made it a pole barn and not with a steeple and glass windows, stained glass windows in it. Because we thought if they were going to take it, we could sell it. It could be lawn and garden. It'd work perfectly out here in the country. You don't want to build something that looks only it can be used as a church. Who wants to buy a church and make it a feed and grain store with a steeple and a big thing to cross on the top? Forget all that. That ain't the church. The church is the people. Now, in the picture in the back, there's a picture in the back. Sasha Yashnikov, I mentioned to some of you, I don't think I made a public announcement. Sasha is the preacher at the church in Minsk. There's two Churches of Christ there. He's the preacher at one of them. We've known Sasha since he was, 18, 19 years old. There's a picture in the back. There's four guys. One of them's Oleg. One of them's Nikolai. You'd know him. He was here. And the older man is Viktor Yashnikov. That's Sasha's dad. Sasha's the guy in the bright blue jacket. And he's a good kid. He's a good guy. He's held that thing together for the last, over 20-some years. He's a real likable sort. Sometimes he clowns around too much, maybe. I know Jamie's laughing. She knows him real well. He actually was here once. He's really a good-natured guy. There's not a mean bone in his body. So Oleg told us, I don't remember now, 3 weeks ago, he said, Sasha was arrested. We don't know why. I said, really? Then we heard Sasha went to court. Sasha is 15 days in a prison where they beat up protesters. And like, for what? What did he do? We don't know. We don't know. So a week ago, after his 15 days, Oleg was at the church and Sasha walked in the door. Everybody was shocked. So they give him hugs and all kinds of stuff. They ask him if was he going to be able to do the lesson. They wanted to know what happened. He said, I'll do the Lord's Supper, but I can't do the lesson. He's pretty emotional. So Oleg said that he was driving to get his dad to go eat breakfast so they could go to church, go to assembly. He said unmarked police cars came up alongside him, looked him over, passed him, came back. You know, like then they came up again, and he didn't know what they're doing. Well, they stopped him, made him get out of the car, and they started asking him questions. Took his phone. They said, unlock it, take all the passwords off it. So he's doing what they told him to do. Long story short, they arrested him. He does not know why. He said, there was a decal on my car, and it was red. Now, the opposition colors are old Belarusian, and they're red and white. The colors of Belarus today are green and red. So they were finding fault with some souvenir he had. He said, I bought it in the department store. It wasn't opposition. But see, it's like they're finding something. So they confiscate him, his car, everything, cell phone. They took him and locked him up in a cell alone with no light, pitch black, in some darkness, and smelt like vomit. And left him in there for 2 days, not knowing even what day, what time. See, it's a form of torture. It's going to get worse. What they're going to do to him without knowing why. 2 days in utter darkness to disorient, you know, that is a form of mental torture. It's used by the military. You do that to disorient people. Sleep deprivation, they're going to do that and everything. So for 2 days, he's in this black. Then he said they moved him into a room for, he put seven of us, he said, in there. The room was not very big at all. Very small. And in there, he said, we had homeless people with lice all over them. The lice, you could see them. They're on, bugs on the floor. And there was criminals that they, you know, that they arrested and put in there. And he was in there. So they had seven people in there. He said, you couldn't breathe. It was hot. There was no ventilation. They made us stand, he said, Oleg said, on their feet from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, and they weren't allowed to sit down for all those days. They'd start hollering, you know, they'd put a mic, you know, by the amp, big noise, you know, and they had to stand up and shout their name at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. And then stand there on their feet till 10 o'clock at night, no sitting. And if you got loud or tried to sit down, he said they threw a bucket of chemical water, like chlorine. Oleg thought, I think it was chlorine, he's trying to know the English equivalent, water on them. All they got in the morning was a little warm thing of kind of a sweet tea, some broth later, and raw sausage. Was their food. Sasha said, he figured after about 3 days, I guess I'm in here. He started sharing the word with the people. There was one nutty drug addict in there that was really listening. Oleg said, Sasha said, he started calling me Alexander. See, that's the proper name. If you're a Sasha, you're actually an Alexander. But they don't call it you know, it's a, everybody calls everybody Sasha. But the guy was using his proper name. And even some Russian equivalent to thou. In other words, this poor drug addict was trying to show such respect because of what Sasha was sharing. And then these convicts started listening. Three of them. Now, they had said to Sasha, the administrator, whatever they call them, the guards, on the day you get out, you don't get any food or anything. You know, when we serve, you get nothing. I don't know if that was a threat or just matter-of-factly telling them. Every prisoner on their last day gets nothing. So you wasn't going to get no sweet tea or food. And if you're in there all day on your last day, that's just the way it is. And Sasha, Oleg said Sasha expected that. So on that last day, when they slid the tray under the door, there was only for six. So Sasha didn't expect nothing. He wasn't going to get nothing. But when he turned around, three of those convicts were holding their tea out to him. He said, I took a sip out of each one. Best tea, he said, I ever tasted. So he did get out, but he might have to go back because they found he had foreign money. He can go to prison for that. He doesn't know what's going to happen. They confiscated his phone. They unlocked it, got everything. Oleg said that Sasha said that was probably a good thing for me. Because he needed that. We all need to have the kind of faith, not only in the green tree, but in the dry. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. I know Jamie's upset because those of you that would know Sasha, he doesn't deserve that. Ain't a mean bone in the guy's body. Now, I mean, I said that story in 5 minutes. Can you imagine standing on your feet from 6 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night for 2 weeks starting right now? That's a long time. That's a long time. Sasha said, I think that was good for me. And the impact on those other prisoners. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, hard to believe, he said, but what I went through worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, but I want you, because he's in prison. This is one of his prison epistles. I want you to know, brethren, the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Most of the brethren, not all, have become confident by my chain. I'm now much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some preach Christ, indeed preach Christ from envy and strife, others from goodwill. The former want to preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely hoping to add more affliction to my chain, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and this I rejoice, he says. Yes, he said, I will rejoice. You know, I told Oleg when he was sharing that, I said, man. I said, you tell Sasha, Oleg, when you see him, we're encouraged by you, man. I was pumped. That encouraged me in modern day 2023 with no reason, being arrested, but he took advantage of that, being in that prison cell with some nutty drug addict. some homeless people covered with lice and convicts. When he told me they offered him their tea, to have a swig of their tea. Talk about a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. Talk about an impact. Talk about a statement in that witness of what happened. And he may not be out of it yet. I told Oleg, I can't wait to hear how this might impact his witness and his the way he puts his messages together. He's a thoughtful guy. His messages are good. I wonder what they'll sound like now after that experience. You know, God doesn't do that to pick on us. Paul's making it clear there was a real positive benefit of his prison time. And he's talking about rejoicing. I know this is going to turn out for my deliverance, Paul said, through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Paul said, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Romans 8 and 28 tells us all things do work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God hasn't abandoned us or his people. When this stuff happens, they can bulldoze down buildings and, you know, they can do whatever they're going to do. Happen to people a lot better than us, I guess I'd say. I mean, hey, we'd be in good company if it did. If it did. I don't know what's going to happen, and neither do you, but it's okay. It's okay. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter said, look, we've got a great hope, but trials are also going to be very necessary, so expect it. Don't worry about it. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. It doesn't fade away. God's got it all reserved in heaven for us. Got a name on it, 1 Peter 1 and 4. And we are kept by the power of God. Well, who's going to be able to overthrow that? Kept by the power of God through faith. Operative word there, by the way, through faith. We are kept by the power of God, but God's going to work through our faith. You see, that's our part. So let's just make sure we are not those of little faith. Oh, you have little faith, Jesus said. Have you no faith? Where is your faith? Woman, great is your faith. The Gentile woman who won that demon cast out her daughter and wasn't going to take no for an answer. He said, I only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wouldn't be right to give the children's bread to the little dogs. Truth, Lord, but even little dogs eat of the crumbs. Woman, great is your faith. Crumbs from the children's table. Kept by the power of God through faith. Let's have a great faith. Ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you haven't seen him, though and you love him, but even though now you don't see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving now the end of that faith of yours. More precious than gold that perishes, the salvation of your soul. Wow. That's what this is all about. We got to have that Abrahamic faith. Not only in the green tree when everything is still kind of sort of okay, unmolested in here right now. That could end in a flash. It's happening all over the place. I just wanted to harvest a couple of those personal interest stories because we tend to know some of those people that affect. It's real people in real time. I think I might have said the other day, well, I got a message from Stephen Van Rusang in Myanmar. He was asking prayers for his extended family, his cousin, his family. He said they hit the Burmese military, hit his house with artillery. And he said it killed my cousin's son instantly. 6 years old, took his head right off. And took the leg off his mom. Amputated the leg. The other kids in the hospital. They're Christians. Just like that. Wars, rumors of wars, pandemics. Where's God? Same place he's always been. Nearby. Right there. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to them, for he sees, he knows. Trials. Genuineness of the faith must be tested absolutely. Peter said, look, fasten your seatbelt. It can get really hairy. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, don't think it strange now. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, so some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. Rejoice to the extent you're partakers of Christ's suffering, and when his glory is revealed, that you may be glad with what exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed you are, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part glorified. You know, God believes in you and believes in me. He would have never did this if he didn't believe in you and me. He saw us before we were born. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he said. We can rejoice. We need the bigger picture, though. Because if all you can see is the darkness in this world, in light of even some of the little things I just said, woo, this is a depressing place. Scary. We have got to have a bigger view, and that's what God gives us. And that's what we have to communicate to other people who are up to their eyeballs in despair right now, who don't know God. They are in darkness and they are very fearful. They have no idea what's going to happen next. And they worry about it. I'll guarantee you what, I don't worry about it. I guess I just don't worry. I don't have to like it at times when I see things like that going on. And there's an injustice and there's an indignation. We can be angry, but don't sin. Jesus looked on these people with anger because of the hardness of their heart when all he's wanting to do is help a crippled man. And they were looking, the religious guys were looking to find fault to see if he'd do it on the Sabbath day. It says he looked on them with anger. God gets angry all the time. But he don't sin. There is such a thing as be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down. Deal with it. Put it away. Our hope is in a larger context. The darkness is great, but the light is greater. That's why he says, we can rejoice. We can count it all joy because we see what it's working. Now, I don't know exactly what context Sasha said. That was a good experience for me. I will very well take that as a very positive, that his faith and that experience just connected, and he saw good. And that's what we need to see. We need to see good. I'm going to close with Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, but recall, Christian, the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods and the bulldozing of your buildings, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who's coming, he's coming. He will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe to the saving of the soul. Yeah, it's going to get rough. troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom's all held dear, now is at stake. We don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't matter. God does. We read the book. We win. We need each other during this time. We need the encouragement. Again, I can't wait to hear maybe some things that Sasha gleaned from that experience. I really hope he doesn't have to go back or go to prison because of the foreign money. It'll be rough. But it wouldn't be the first time that an innocent person, a righteous person, had to suffer. And if he was going to preach in that jail after 3 days, I guess he'd have a prison ministry, won't he? So keep him in prayer. And again, he's the picture on the back of the guy in the blue jacket. That's Sasha Yashnikov. Thanks for your attention this morning.